got to do the woo too. Well, woo-hoo. I'm so thankful to be able to be here tonight. I'm always thankful for the opportunity to be able to share what God has done either through me in the recent past or currently. And I never share anything that I haven't been through or that God is really working on me, because I never want to share anything that I don't have any knowledge about, right? So tonight, it's interesting because I actually had written this message. I was supposed to speak in February on a Sunday, and then I got sick. And so it's been a while, but I wrote it, and I remember writing it and not feeling good, right? And so I knew I had to speak, and I was going through it, and I'm like, okay, God, I really need you because I don't feel good right now. And it turned out I, got sick and I wasn't here. And then a couple weeks ago, just asking God, what do you want me to share? Is it this? Is it something else? Just give me, download something to me, please. And so I started rereading, just going through this message. And I'm like, I don't even remember writing some of this. And I just felt like this was the time just to that this message was to be released tonight. And so I'm excited to share this with you. It's called Lessons from the Hills to Use in Your Valley. Lessons from the Hill to Use in Your Valley. And we pick up this story in Exodus 17, where the Israelites are on the move, traveling out of slavery. And they are coming out of the desert of sin, it says, and are faced against the Amalekite people. And this is what happens. We're going to just read through this together. Exodus 17, 8 through 16. It says, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Ur climbed to the top of the hill, of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Ur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. And as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, God, that you so willingly just give your son for every single one of us. I thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy and your peace and comfort tonight. Open up our hearts, God. Increase, God, and allow us to decrease. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first point of in this story is the battle is the Lord's. Think about this scene for a moment. Moses told Joshua to go get a group of men ready to go into battle, to fight the Amalekites. The Amalekites were actually descendants of Esau who stole the birthright of Jacob. And they were always ready to fight. They were known as fighters, as warriors. And these guys were intense. They were strong. Nobody in their right mind would want to fight the Amalekites. But because the Israelites were on the move, the Amalekites found out and they were ready to attack. So here the Amalekites were, the Israelites were, and the Amalekites were coming after them. They had to fight back. So Moses, the leader, told Joshua to go get ready for battle, and that he, Moses, would be up on a hill nearby while they were fighting in the valley. You see, battles are won in the valleys and on the hills. They were in the valley fighting, and because Moses was on a hill nearby, not only could Moses see what was happening, whenever the Israelites looked up, they could see the staff raised, and they knew God was with them. They knew that every time that they looked up, that the battle was not theirs, but it was the Lord's. You see, the staff represented something to them, and Moses was up there, and every time he had his hands raised, they saw the presence of God. They recognized God's presence with them. The staff of Moses symbolized God's presence, God's miracles, God's hand on the Israelites. That's what they saw. They just saw the staff perform many miracles, Because up until that point, God used it to reveal to Moses who he was at the burning bush, right? He used the staff to bring about the 10 plagues. He used the staff to separate the Red Sea. And so the staff symbolized to the Israelites that God was with them. And so Joshua and the army needed that reminder as they were in the valley fighting. And every time they looked up, they knew that God was with them. And every time Moses held up that staff, he knew that God was with them, that the battle that was in front of them was the Lord's. And we need that reminder today that God is with you and I today, that the battle in front of us is not greater than the God inside of us, that it's time to look up. You see, just as God was with David as he fought Goliath, God is with us. Just as God was with Daniel in the lion's den, God is with us. Just as God was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God is with us. In Psalm 24:8, it says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle." There's an account in 2 Chronicles with King Josaphat where he was surrounded by armies and the people were scared. He was getting scared. He didn't know what to do at that moment. And so he cried out to God. And in 2 Chronicles 20:12, he says, "Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against any of this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." Look up. It's time to look up. Battles are won in the valleys and on the hills. We need to lift up our eyes. We need to know that God is with us, that people are praying for us, that people are believing for us, that we are rooting for you, and we believe that the battle belongs to the Lord. The second thing is, it's okay to need help. Be willing to accept it. Here we have Moses up on the hill, right? A great and mighty leader, called by God, was leading this army of people out of slavery. God was using him to reveal who he was to the Israelites. A symbol of strength, a symbol of hope. And what happened here? We see that Moses grew tired. In verse 12, it says, "Moses' arms soon became tired, and he could no longer hold them up." And so what did Aaron and Ur do? They found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. This is just so powerful to me. It's so good. It's so such a powerful picture in my mind. Not just that he had two people holding up his hands, but that Moses didn't reject their assistance. Moses didn't look at them and say, "No, I'm the leader. I can do this by myself. I don't need your help. This is what God told me to do." He didn't say that. He willingly accepted the help. He willingly accepted the assistance. Why? Well, first, he was tired. Do you ever just get tired? You try holding up your arms for more than 5 minutes. I guarantee you, you're going to get some sort of crick in your neck and your arm. But second, he was looking at the greater picture. He knew without their help, it wouldn't be good. And it wasn't because he was old and feeble, if you're picturing that in your mind. In Deuteronomy 34:7, it actually says that Moses was 120 when he died, but yet his eyesight was clear and he was strong as ever. So if he was strong as ever at 120, he was not just some old and frail person right here. He was strong. So even though he was strong, he still grew tired. It's not easy to hold, right, something up over your head. Sometimes we get too prideful for our own good. We're like a toddler that wants to do everything by themselves. If you've ever raised a 2 or 3 year old child and you need to leave the house, right? But they're learning how to zip their coat. So they're trying to zip their coat and you're like, "Let me help you zip your coat. I can do it myself." Yes, someday you'll be able to do this by yourself, but right now you really need some help. And sometimes we get like that. You try to reason with a 2 or 3 year old, it's really fun. But we get like that. We get like that. We say, "No, I can do it myself." And we get stubborn and we think that we don't need any help. Someday maybe we'll be able to do what's in front of us, but right now we need help. So why don't we think we need any help? Well, sometimes it's because we don't want to feel like a burden. Sometimes we don't want to be turned down. Sometimes we want to control everything. And some people just don't like anything that maybe feels like a handout. And all those may seem reasonable. Like, yeah, I get that. Okay, I can reason with that. But if we're honest, it actually all comes down to pride. Oh, that word. That's a fun word, isn't it? Proverbs 16:18 said, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. We have to realize that there's nothing wrong with seeking help. In fact, Scripture encourages it. Asking for help doesn't mean you're weak, but it means that you're strong. It means that you're wise. In fact, thinking that you can do everything actually will eventually lead to a failure rather than just saying, I need help right now. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there's no counsel, the people fall. Proverbs 20:18 says, plans succeed through good counsel. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. I read this this meme the other day. It says, can we please stop associating strength with someone's ability to smile through tears and suffer in silence? Strength is being brave enough to talk about what's killing you on the inside. That's what strength is. Moses was tired and he let the people that were around him help him. Be strong enough to stand alone, smart enough to know when you need help, and brave enough to ask for it. It's okay to need help. Just be willing to accept it when God gives it to you. The third thing is, who's lifting your hands? Verse 12 and 13 said, they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. Moses had people next to him that he trusted. He had his brother who was chosen by God to assist him, and he had a trusted friend and leader aside of Moses. Moses knew the two men that were with him had the same vision, believed the same God, believed in the ministry of Moses' life. They encouraged him. They helped him. There's a quote that says, it's not where you are that matters. It's who you have by your side that matters. And who's by your side? Who's lifting your hands? We have to get around people that believe in the same God that we do, that are going the same direction that we are, that believe in us, that encourage us, that help us. Who's by your side? Who are you walking with? I love this quote by Oprah. I don't believe what she believes by any means, but this quote I do enjoy reading because it's true. It says, lots of people want to ride with you in the limo, but what you want is someone who will take the bus when the limo breaks down. We need people in our life that are willing to take the bus with us. We need to be around people that will lift up our hands when we're tired. We need to be around people that will encourage us when we want to quit. We need to be around people that will pray for us when the fight in us is growing dim. Who's lifting your hands? Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. There's a song by Pink, and the lyrics to the chorus get me every time. She writes, God, it hurts to be human. Without you, I'd be losing. And someday we'll face the music. God, it hurts to be human. But then she says, but I've got you, you, and you've got me too. You see, Moses had Aaron and by his side. Who do you have? Who's lifting your hands? I'm not asking to make anyone feel bad, but to really think about who those people are in your life that are lifting your hands. Text them, thank them, let them know. And if you can't think of two people, go find them. Join a connect group. Get involved. Find community. It's worth it. Stop saying, oh, I just can't do that. I don't have any friends. Well, then get friends. Find somebody. There's plenty of people here that when you say, hey, you want to go to coffee? Sarah, great example. Last Wednesday, she says, hey, you want to go to coffee? I was like, yeah, sure, we'll go to coffee. So we go to coffee, and at the end, I said, oh, I'm glad that we got together. And she goes, well, I actually only asked you because you said, if you ever need to talk, just ask. And I was like, you get it. You get it. If you ever need to talk, just ask. That's all you have to do. And I've said that to people before. No one says anything about it, you know. If you need to talk, if you need a friend, just ask. Well, I keep asking the same person. Then they're not your person. Find somebody else. If you keep asking, find somebody else. There are people that God has put in your life that will walk with you, that will hold your hand. So who's lifting your hands? And lastly, whose hands are you lifting? Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. You want a friend? We hear it all the time. Then what? Be a friend. You want to be an encourager? Then be an encourager. We should be lifting each other up and cheering each other on, not trying to outshine one another. The sky would be awfully dark with just one star. I've been waiting to share this story that I found, honestly, in January, and now's the time, and I'm so excited. So we have this guy, and he's walking down the street, and he falls into a hole. The walls are so steep that he can't get out. So a doctor passes by, and the guy says, hey, can you help me out? And the doctor writes a prescription, throws it down in the hole, and moves on. So then a priest walks by, and the guy shouts up, Father, I'm down in this hole. Can you help me out? And so the priest writes down a prayer, throws it in the hole, and he keeps walking on. And then we have a friend. Joe walks by. And the guy looks up and says, hey, Joe, I'm down here in this hole. Can you please help me out? Joe looks down and he goes, and he jumps in the hole. And guy looks at him and goes, what are you, stupid? Now we're both down here. How are we going to get out? And he looks at him and says, yeah, but I've been here before. I know the way out. Who do you have in your life that you can help, that you know what they're going through, and you say, come on, you can do this. I know the way out. I know a God that's victorious. I know a God that's going to walk with you. I know a God that's going to fight the battles. I know a God that's never going to quit on you. I know a God that will never stop. I know a God that wins battles. Come on, let's go. I know the way out. Who do you have in your life that you're saying, come on, let's go. Let's go. The battle belongs to the Lord. It's okay to ask for help. Who's lifting your hands? And whose hands are you lifting? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for this moment, God. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to notice those around us, God, that we can help, that we can raise their hands, God. Help us to find those people in our life, God, that are going to be encouraging to us. And God, help us to walk with purpose, knowing that the battle in front of us is not greater than the God inside of us. We thank you for doing your work. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for every person here, God. Help us to find those people, God, that you have placed in our life. And let us move with purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on. That was really awesome, wasn't it, though? Many struggle with that. Asking and trusting people to lift up your hand when you're in that place. And God wants to help you with that going forward. I feel like that we need to pray for you tonight, that if that's you, maybe you've been hurt. You preach that message. Have you ever been hurt? Have you ever lost a friend that you thought? I hate to tell you, it's part of life, but you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay wounded. You don't have to stay broken. You don't have to stay hurt. God wants to lift you up out of that tonight. If that's you, I want you, all our heads are up. We're not trying to make anybody feel bad, but I want you to stand up right now, because we're going to pray for you tonight, that God will bring the right people at the right time into your life. Come on over here. Spirit of the living God, we have heard from heaven above tonight. We come to you tonight with some with our hearts that have been broken, some that are legitimately here have been abused in a relationship by someone they said, I'll be your friend. I pray for healing for those who are hurting, broken, suffering, disconnected. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I pray for heaven to touch earth right now. Lord, to let each and every one know that you give us the ability to begin again. And this night is that moment of beginning. Bring the right people into our life, Lord, and just help us to understand when you excuse the others from us. And we'll trust you for it, God. We give you praise for it tonight. I want you to keep your eyes closed. Everybody just stay where you are. Don't sit down. But I believe on my way here tonight, actually just a little bit before, as I was praying for someone to give their life to Jesus. Maybe you're here, maybe you're watching online, but your eyes closed tonight, your head's bowed. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to just put your hand right up in the air. I'm not going to pick you out. I don't want nothing from you, but I want to pray for you, and we'll pray together tonight. I sense that someone is here. You've never given your life to Jesus. Just put your hand up and say, Pastor Marty, pray for me right now. Come on, people. Thank you. Thank you. If you're at home and you're watching, you've never given your life to Jesus, I just want you to, in the little box there, just say, pray for me. People that are watching this right now, they'll pray for you. So I want all over this building tonight, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to open up your mouth, and I want you to pray it out loud with me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I come to you. Tonight is a special night. Tonight I give you my heart. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that Jesus died for me. And tonight I accept you into my life to be my Lord and to be my Savior. From this day forward, I will serve you with all of my heart and my mind. Thank you. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on now, put your hands together one more time. Fabulous, Pastor Aaron, as always. If you see, is Judy Pratt here tonight? Where's Judy? Why are you sitting down? And Dr. James Booty, it's their birthday tonight. So as much as you feel comfortable, you can high-five them, you can elbow bump them, you can fist pump them. Wish them a happy birthday on the way out. I love you. All those that are watching at home tonight, we love you. We thank God for you. Go in his grace tonight. God's got the right people in the right place for you. Amen. God bless you.